Marshall McLuhan. Marshall McLuhan was a mid-20th century communications theorist, and he's famous for coining the phrase that the medium is the message. Some of you might have heard that phrase before. And really, that was McLuhan's way of summarizing a philosophical concept that, in the world of philosophy at least, that originated with him, in the world of communications, it originated with him. But the concept that the media that we use is actually of considerable more influence and importance, the effect that it exerts on the society, that the actual media that we use is more important than the ideas in a lot of ways that the media actually communicate. So McLuhan would look at the type of media that human beings had used over the centuries, and he would consider the impact that those media channels had on individuals, the impact that those media channels might have on society at large. And he came to the conclusion that although the ideas that we communicate are important, on the macro scale, what's even more important is the type of media that we use to communicate those ideas. And when you think about it, I mean, the man has a point. Let's think about Gutenberg in the 16th century when he introduced print media to the world. And you look at how that transformed the society of the day. I mean, you went from where books were handwritten affairs, and there were so very, very few books. They were so very precious, the few that you did have, to where books then generally eventually became accessible to the population at large. Well, in turn, if you had these books that were cheaper and more accessible, you had more people that needed to learn how to read and learn how to write. And so there was an explosion, right, in the educational sector, all because of the print media. It wasn't long after Gutenberg invented the printing press that newspapers came along. You know, before you had newspapers, you had the town crier. You might have had a few handwritten news sheets that would be pasted in a few places around town. But with newspapers now, everyone could get hooked in on a daily basis on the things that were going on in the area. And so the society became more connected in that way, and things began to speed up for human beings, more information to look at and to consider and to digest, and things begin to move faster. And you go forward 300 years from there, from the newspapers to where the telegraph was invented. What a quantum leap forward in communication. Now you can send a message to anybody across the continent, wherever those telegraph wires ran. You can send a message and get it to anybody within just a few hours or a few minutes sometimes. Huge strides in communication. The telegraph completely transformed the way that people could communicate with one another. And then, not long after that, you had, a few decades later, radio. The radio media, the entertainment, the advertising now that started coming with over the radio waves. And then, of course, we all are very familiar with television and how we think about, if there weren't television in our lives, how much time that would save us every day if there weren't TV. But there is TV. And so now we got to watch all the newscasts, right? We got to yell at the television about all the things going on in the world. And there's all this information that's coming at us in so many different ways. And it changed our society. It changed our world in ways that humanity never could have dreamed of before these mediums, these media channels, were introduced into society. So you can see how McLuhan was onto something. It wasn't just about the ideas that were being shared that changed people and changed society, although they do. But those ideas would go nowhere without the media channels, the media types that we use. And those type of medias transform us as a people, as a society. And of course, now you have the internet, which has just revolutionized communication, revolutionized the dissemination of knowledge and information. It has probably been the number one primary, most responsible reason, social media, for the extremely sharp divisions that we have in our society now. You go back 30 years, it wasn't like that. But now everyone go out there and spout off what they think, and it brings out the worst in carnal human nature on social media. It's probably done more to amplify the divisions in our society than anything else has in the last two or three decades. So the medium is the message, and we are changed by the media that we use. In fact, attention spans in technological societies have steadily decreased with the evolution of more media, more information, that we jump from one information piece to another. Our brains have become saturated with this information, and so we change, our brains change the way that we process information, the way that we communicate. So the message is important, the ideals are important, but the medium changes everything about the environment around that communication medium. And the medium changes the people who receive the message. Interesting to think about, isn't it? How we are changed, how we are impacted and changed by the technologies that we use. Now, why do I bring all of this up? Again, I think Marshall McLuhan was he was a strong thinker, and I think he has a point with all of this. But why would I spend time at Sabbath services talking about a communication theorist and his theory from 50 or 60 years ago? Well, I want to talk about this because McLuhan was not the first communication theorist to understand this concept that the medium is the message. John 1. Let's go to John 1. John was a man whom I'm sure spent a lot of time thinking about the best way to communicate with the audiences that he was communicating with in his days, that he was writing to. And at the very outset of John, we see a very similar concept to what McLuhan would propose almost 2,000 years later, this idea that the medium is the message. The message is important. But that the medium itself, at a fundamental level, becomes the message. And at a fundamental level, you cannot separate the message from the communication medium that is proclaiming that message. In John 1 and in verse 1, John writes, he tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So Jesus Christ came to proclaim the Word of God, and Jesus Christ was also, he was the Word. He came to communicate that Word, and he was the Word. Christ is the medium by which God's truth, by which God's way of life is going to be proclaimed to the society of his day. And he was also the living embodiment of God's truth and the way to eternal life. So he was both the medium that proclaimed the message, and he was the message through who he was, how he lived, what he did, the example that he set. He showed us the way. He was a living message of God's way of life, a living example of the good news of the gospel message that God brings to us. So Jesus Christ was the communication medium, and he was the message. Very interesting concept that John introduces here to us. Now, what's really interesting to me is we can also go back to the book of Malachi, and we can see in the book of Malachi a very similar principle at work there, where God is addressing the priest there at Jerusalem. This would have been sometime in the mid to early 400s BC. In Malachi, and I appreciate again David Housen, I guess it's been a few months back now, might have been the spring or earlier, where he gave a sermon, I think it was, on Malachi. It's always been one of the books that I've found to be most edifying and instructive, because Malachi is a book. As I mentioned once before, if you have been called to be a priest of God, Malachi is a book for the priest of God. But the name Malachi means my messenger. And throughout the book of Malachi, you'll see God introduced various messengers that he will send to us. And you go through Malachi, and God identifies five different messengers that he sends to the people of Judah, that he sends to humanity at large. Well, Malachi himself is the first of those messengers. And then in Malachi 3:1, God identifies John the Baptist, not by name, but we know it's John the Baptist based on events that proceeded. In Malachi 3:1, so John the Baptist is identified as the messenger. And Jesus Christ also in Malachi 3:1 is mentioned as the messenger of the covenant. And in chapter 4 and in verse 5, there's the Elijah who is to come at the end of the age, the time of the end. That's another messenger. But in Malachi 2, and in verse 7, and we'll read that one, Malachi 2 and verse 7, there's one other messenger that God speaks of in this book. And most of the book of Malachi is written to this particular messenger. Malachi 2 and in verse 7, God says, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Eternal of Hosts." He is the Malak of the Eternal of Hosts. And so the priests were supposed to be messengers of God. That's part of the calling of the priest of God. Part of the calling is to be a communication medium by which God's message is proclaimed to the people whom those priests serve. And the people in Judea at that time were dependent upon the priests to teach them the knowledge of God. Again, there weren't any books. It wasn't like the books of the Bible were just lying around anywhere. You had to go to the temple to find any of the scrolls of the Bible. And even then, you couldn't just go and read the scrolls because they were too precious and too valuable. So you had to go up to the priest and you had to talk to the priest, and the priest would teach you about the law, or teach the masses about the law. They would teach the people about God's way of life, and they were supposed to be the messengers of God to communicate to the people God's word to those who came to the temple for the purpose of worshiping God. So remember, Jesus Christ now is the high priest. He is the ultimate priest. And he was both the medium, the messenger who came to proclaim the gospel message of the kingdom of God, the message of how to live so that God can bring salvation to all peoples. He was the medium, but he was also the message in what he did, in the example that he set. And when you look at the priest of ancient Israel and ancient Judah, McLuhan's axiom that the medium is the message never rings so true as it does for those priests. Because you see, the priesthood was responsible for bringing an entire nation of people, millions of people, bringing an entire nation of people into a relationship with God. You think about that. You think about the responsibility that places upon that institution to bring an entire nation into a relationship with God based upon the only means they had at that point to have any kind of a semblance of a relationship with the God who had created them. And so when God is speaking to these priests in Malachi's day, you can understand why he would speak so severely to them, because this is a momentous responsibility that they have been given. And if they fail to execute those duties, then the people of Israel cannot worship their God, not in the way that God has prescribed, through the temple worship. You know, that priesthood now has a profound impact on whether or not these people could engage with the God who had created him. The priesthood was the medium for communicating God's message with his people. And the priesthood themselves, by the way that they lived, by the things that they did, by the way that they discharged their priestly duties, by how they conducted themselves, the priests themselves became a message to the people, because the way that they conducted themselves, the way they performed their duties, the importance that they placed upon the God of Israel spoke volumes to all the people about what was really important in life. And the priests themselves became a type of message to the Jews about the value of God and the priority of God. They were a message about the importance of God's covenant that he had made with Israel, about the importance of God's word, of God's law. And so in many ways, they became a message to those whom they served. And the trouble with the priests in Malachi's time was that because they abhorred serving God, they corrupted the message that they had been sent to give. And they corrupted the people that they had been sent to serve. And we can read about that here in Malachi 2. We got started here in verse 7, where we read, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law to his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Eternal of Hosts." In verse 8, "But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble." Speaking to the priest, "You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi," says the Eternal of Hosts. So God gave these priests a message to teach to the people of Judea. And they took that message and they corrupted it. The messengers became the message, and they profaned themselves, and they corrupted themselves, and because they were corrupt then, they corrupted the people who looked to them for leadership on how to have a relationship with God, who looked to them for instruction on understanding the way of God. And so the medium of God's message exerted this enormous influence upon society, just like McLuhan, just like he proposes, that the medium has this extraordinary influence on the society in which the communications are going out to. An enormous effect upon the way the entire population were worshiping their God. In Malachi 1 and verse 10, we see the sweeping effect that these messengers, these priests, had upon all of Judea. In verse 10, so God is speaking to the priests about their duties in the temple. And God says, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing?" So the priests couldn't even be bothered to open or close the temple doors unless there was something in it for them. They wouldn't even get up to open and close the doors to the temple. He goes on, he says, "So who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Eternal of Hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." And so here are the priests of God, and they have become so apathetic towards God and towards the responsibilities that God has given to them that they don't even bother to give any service unless there's something in it for them. They stopped doing the work of God for God, and they started doing it for themselves. They stopped doing the work of God out of love for God, out of any motivation to serve their Creator. They only served themselves because they just got to the point to where they could not be troubled to care enough about serving their Father. And so because those messengers became corrupt, people would come to the temple, and they would try to give an offering because, remember, you had to be reconciled to God through these offerings, these sin offerings. And God says, "I won't accept the offering." And so they could not come into some semblance of relationship with God in the only way they knew how, the only way they had available to them, because the priesthood had become so corrupt that God would not accept the offerings. And it completely destroyed the symbolic relationship that God had with the children of Israel, because the messengers would not carry forth the message of God, because the messengers would not live the message that God had given to them. You see, the medium is the message, and the medium became the message, and because the medium was corrupt, the message was corrupt, and the people became corrupt with no means towards a relationship with God. With no means towards a relationship with God. So, speak of all this in prelude. I think you understand why it's important. Don't have to turn there, but Revelation 20, just to remind us, Revelation 20, I'll just read it. Verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that's part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And so when we read the book of Malachi and we read about the priesthood, we have to understand that is just a type. That's just a type of the priesthood that God is preparing right now. It's just a type of the priesthood that is to come. God is in the process of establishing that priesthood in his church right now, and you and I, brethren, we know we've been called to become priests of God. We know that we've been called to be served in that way. So God has created us, and he has called us so that we would become a part of a royal priesthood, serving God and serving others And you know all of that. But what I really want to talk about today is that as a priest of God, we understand that we become mediums to communicate God's way to others. We become messages in the way that we live, and as a priest of God, brethren, what is the message that you are sending? What is the message that we are sending? Because a medium becomes the message. And if you like a title for this sermon, you can just title it, "What is your message?" Because you see, the priest are messengers of God. We are the medium by which God will teach his knowledge to all the world, not right now. But I'll tell you something, we are supposed to be light right now, aren't we? To that small part of the world that does come into contact with us. And so often, the medium is the message. And what type of message do we send, brethren, by the type of medium, the type of vessel we are? For the message that God wants to preach to the world. Because we all send messages by the way that we live. Now, each message that is sent, for it to be effective, has to have an audience. Has to have an audience, doesn't it? And so if we are to be living messages from God, then we need to consider the audiences that God sends us to. And it's kind of interesting. We can see from the book of Malachi, there's two primary audiences that God focuses on here in the book of Malachi. One is, they were to be messengers to the people. He states that very explicitly, that the priests are supposed to be messengers of God's knowledge and God's law to the people that he sent them to. So one of those audiences are the people to whom God has called those priests to minister. But when you read through the book of Malachi, it becomes readily apparent there's another primary audience that this message is going to. And that audience is God himself. God is paying attention. And God has a little bit to say to the priest in Malachi because of the type of message they are sending both to him and to the people of Judea. And so, brethren, we send a message to God and we send a message to the people that we come into contact with by the way that we live, just like the priest here in Malachi did. The way that we live, the things that we value, the things that we prioritize. The things that we do, by the way that you and I go about our lives discharging the duties of a priest, we are sending messages. We can't help but send messages. Now, maybe someone hears the message, maybe they don't. That's all right. I tell you what, though. They'll remember that message. If they don't hear it in this age, they will remember it when they come up in the resurrection. And I think we've all had days where we probably sent the wrong message to people, and we don't look forward to having to address that. Hey, you remember that time? Yeah, I do. We're always sending messages. Just like Jesus Christ, brethren, we are living messages. And for the remainder of the message, no pun intended, remainder of this sermon, and I won't take a whole lot of time on this, because I don't have a whole lot of time. But I want to take a look at a little bit of what God focuses on in the book of Malachi. I want to focus on the message that the priest communicated to God. Now, there's probably one or two more sermons that can be pulled out of this study, and probably will be. But to get started today, I want to look at our message to God, the priest's message to God, and focus on how the medium becomes the message, how you and I are sending messages to God every day based upon how we approach our priestly duties to him. And we're going to get started by going through the book of Malachi, and we'll get started here in the first chapter of Malachi. And we'll start with what might be the most important thing that any priest of God can do and must do when it comes to the message that we send to God and when it comes to being an effective priest for God. And it all starts Malachi 1, beginning in verse 4. We're picking it up here in the middle of a thought here, where God says, whereas Edom says, we're impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Eternal of Hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Eternal has indignation forever. So he's talking about a future time here. And in verse 5, he says, and your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Eternal will be magnified from the border of Israel. So this idea that Israel will be an example nation, a prototypical nation in the time to come for the rest of the world to see. And people will look at that nation of Israel and they will see, you know, inside those borders of Israel, God is magnified. So God's telling these priests and really all the people at Jerusalem at this time that they don't understand his love for them right now, because this is in the context of how they are objecting that God doesn't love them. And God's saying, you don't understand now. And you don't understand how great I am now. And you don't understand how great my love is now for you. But he promises them, there is a time coming when you will understand. When you will understand and you will have eyes to see it. And when you see it, you understand how great I am, you will magnify me. And you won't just magnify me within the borders of Israel. You will show it to the rest of the world as well. You will share that with the rest of the world. Kind of like a priest would do, right? Trying to bring others into a relationship with God. Helping others to understand God. Magnifying God. The first thing that a priest must do to understand who he's working for. Who are we working for? And magnify that above everything in life. Because that's God's rightful position in our lives. You get to the end of it. Some of you who are older than me can speak to this better than I could, but you get to the end of it. I've talked to enough folks towards the end of their lives to understand there is nothing else at the end of it besides God. You're not going to go jump on the next train at the end of the line without God. You're not going to make that connection to the next leg of the journey. And a priest, brethren, has to dedicate themselves to that service every day. Every day, the priest would be there in the temple serving. Now, they had their courses, but when you were on duty in the priest, in your course, you were there to serve each day. Because God comes first. God comes first for the faithful priest. Also down here in verse 11 here, Malachi 1, verse 11, God says, he says, From the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, says the Eternal of Hosts. And so, looking forward into the time to come, and God is looking at these Jews here in the area around Jerusalem, and he's telling them, you don't even understand. And I've called you to be my people. He says, and the time is coming when all the nations will magnify me. When my name will be great among the heathen. Because he is a great and an awesome God. I think it's very interesting. This was probably the root of the issue that the priest had. Number one, they didn't think God loved them. They didn't think God was who he said he is, lack of faith. But because of that, they would not magnify God. They would not magnify the responsibilities he gave to them and their duties. And you're going to see this idea of magnifying God. It becomes a theme. If you study through Malachi, you'll see it mentioned 4, 5, 6 times, where God is emphasizing how great he is and that the people that he's called has no concept of it. And the priests, who should be the ones among all the people that he's called, who would be most cognizant of it, have no regard for him at all and don't honor him at all. So, before anything, a priest has to have the priorities right, and God is the great priority. Malachi 2, and in verse 1, God goes on, he says, "Now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Eternal of Hosts," to give glory to God. He is a God to be glorified. I mean, you think about it. We're talking about a being who can take a pile of dirt and create an eternal, glorified spirit being out of a pile of dirt. I cannot wrap my head around that. I mean, and of course, making all the universe besides that, but life, and to create eternal life like that. He is a God to glorify. For what he's doing in humanity, what he's doing in us. And so he says, so if you will not hear, verse 2, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Eternal of Hosts, he says, there will be consequences. I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. God always wants our hearts. Lay it to heart. The precious gift that God has called us to. The value, the treasure of knowing the eternal God and having the privilege to serve him and to honor him. Because this priority of glorifying God and this priority of magnifying God, it's very real, brethren, for each one of us, because we have been called to be the priest of God. And if we don't give that priority, if we don't give that magnification, then we cannot execute the duties of a priest. So understand, brethren, that we have been called to be priests of God, an eternal, royal priesthood. But also understand that with that calling, as the priest of God, we're always sending messages. We're sending messages to God. We're sending messages to those around us by the way that we live, by the things we do, by the way that we respond to this calling that God has given to us, by the way that we take the knowledge of God and the law of God that he's given to us, and he hasn't given to hardly anybody in the history of the world, but he's given it to us. So very few people to truly be able to pick up this book and to read it and to really understand how it changes everything about who we are. And really understand how we can go about doing that and opening our eyes to that. By the way we respond to that every day, brethren, we should all remember that we're all part of the media channel for the message of God, these conduits through which God's knowledge and God's law should flow. And remember that the medium is the message. We all have to be cognizant of that. And we all should consider, brethren, what is your message? What is your message that you're sending to God, that you're sending to the world around you each day? Because here in the book of Malachi, God tells us that we'd all better be sending the right messages by the way that we magnify God in our lives.